U.S. Paranormal, another season, another guest. We have with us tonight Tony Stubblefield. Tony has big ties to the Baker, I think probably more than anybody I know. Baker Hotel in Mineral Wells, I'm sure most of you know of it. So we'll kind of jump into his bio and go from there. So he worked for the city from 2008 all the way to 19 as a code officer. And left as a building official. And then he was also involved in a couple of shows or features. One was Ghost Adventures and another, A Haunting of Eric Balfour, which showed off the Baker Hotel. And we'll get into that later because I have some details on that. So, Tony, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Not a problem. So, what can you tell us about the history of Mineral Wells, kind of starting back with the history? Is there anything significant? I know there's tons of wells and what all,
Yeah, Mineral Wells was founded in around 1874, 76. And originally it was a guy named, they called him Judge Lynch. And he and his family had came out from... I want to say the Dallas-Fort Worth area, headed west, and he set up a homestead, which is now in the middle of 281 and Highway 180 here in the middle of Mineral Wells. And back then, they used to haul water from the Brazos River, which is a couple of miles from his homestead to the west. And he decided that was a little bit too much work, so he decided to drill a well on his property. Whenever he drilled a well on his property, they were able to find water pretty easily. However, the water had a very bitter taste, and it wasn't that palatable to them at the time. But I guess it was easier to drink that water than to haul it, and so they just started drinking that water. Well, as time went on, the water that they were drinking from that well ended up having curative effects on some ailments that the family members had. And word had kind of spread, and more settlers came out, and come to find out, the water in the aquifer that's underneath the town is very heavy with a lot of minerals, lithium being one of the main ones. And lithium, of course, is prescribed even nowadays for people that are having psychotic issues or episodes. And so that's why whenever it started fixing people that were kind of crazy, they started calling it crazy water. And the town was it grew to a crazy size. They were having just as many visitors coming through to take advantage of the waters as it were residents of the town. And with that, drinking houses, wells, bathhouses all started booming, even up through the early 1900s. And there was a time when there were, if there was one hotel here, at one point we had probably 30 hotels and bathhouses here in Mineral Wells.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. I mean, I know of a couple, yeah. But I didn't know 30.
Yeah, it was pretty much every corner was a bathhouse, a medical building, or a well drinking pavilion. If you go through and look online at some pictures of old Mineral Wells, you'd be amazed at how many buildings, tall buildings we had downtown, 3-story buildings. And this is back from 1800s up until, some of them sadly were torn down in the 60s, 70s, early 80s. Our downtown district had a lot of things either go up in flames or get knocked down just due to lack of maintenance on it. But in the early 1900s, Mineral Wells was really booming. I think they were saying that we were having, we had 60,000 people here, on any given weekend just from travelers coming through, plus, people that lived here in town. And the town at the time was only half the size of what it is now.
Remind me, is there a train that through there that brings people through? It seemed like there was.
Yeah. And the T&P Railroad had a line that came through here. It had multiple lines. Some of the older Wells here actually had rail lines that were extended up next to their factories. The Crazy Water bottling plant had a couple of rail lines that went straight up to their building so they could load from the bottling plant straight onto the freight cars, both the gallons of water as well as the dried crystals. One of the things they used to do is they would take the crystal, the mineral water, and put it up in a high section that was all glass and basically dehydrate the water, leaving all the minerals and crystals from the water. They would bag that up and send it to your home, and you could drink the magic crystals from there. And it was a pretty good racket for, you know, every other town in Texas was built on oil. We were built basically by water.
Right. And I've seen, you know, visiting the bottling company many times. They have flyers and such saying you can get a bath of some sort. It sounds like basically like at a hotel and everything. Is it the same mm-hmm. thing, basically?
Yeah. The Crazy Water well was there where there is a Crazy Water hotel that is actually being redone right now. In the vein of having apartments upstairs and retail stuff on the bottom. But that well was the biggest one, or the most well-known one, because they label it crazy, straight-up crazy water. And then the one that is still in business right now is the famous well that is they ship mineral water all over the state. And I believe they have deals now where they're shipping it to you know, throughout the United States, selling that crazy water.
Well, yeah, I mean, I see it at, you know, Bucky's gas station now. I'm seeing it in, like, major stores, grocery stores, gas stations everywhere.
Yeah, and that's a pretty cool thing for us here. But the other cool thing is that with all these hotels and people coming here, there's a lot of people that have come through town, you know, but especially back in the early days that – There was a lot of craziness that happened here for, you know, literally, you know, there's stories of, and these are verified stories of, you know, a barn that was set ablaze. And whenever the fire department put the blaze out back in the, you know, this is early 1900s, they found a decapitated body and no head was ever found. But, you know, and then they found that, and there's a guy walking through town in a heavy leather slicker for weeks after that, who finally confessed that he'd killed this person, but nobody knows who the person was and what he ever did with the head.
Oh, wow. So it's probably like a traveler or someone just passing through and nobody knows him missing.
Oh, yeah, because somebody would roll in through, you know, a stagecoach, you know, a train, and nobody would know who they were, and they would pass through and look for a boarding house. Well, everybody was, you know, hungry for business, so somebody would take anybody in at those points. But, you know, Mineral Wells had a rough downtown. They, you know, also there are plenty of stories of saloons and fights and shootings all throughout downtown.
Yeah.
Which you look at now, and it's very crazy to think that was happening here.
Yeah, I know. And you have the Haunted Hill House, which is about 150 feet from the Baker. And, you know, I've investigated there where, you know, I've seen the walls where they have it paneled to hide the alcohol, the moonshine, where they, and supposedly they were bootlegging for the hotel, for the Baker Hotel.
Yeah, and I can tell you for sure, they're up in the Baker's suite in the top floor of the Baker. TB's room had a prohibition door that was built into a closet that was in one of the rooms near the front door, which, you know, his room sat at the very end of the hall, and it's still there today, which is pretty neat, out of everything that's been tore up. And the developers that are currently redoing the hotel are going to leave that there. And I think they were going to make that a special surprise for whoever, you know, got the room.
Get that room. Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you if it's original and how much are they keeping pretty much the entire hotel with the renovation? Are they keeping it pretty, keeping it like it was back in its heyday, or?
It's going to be, I was there.
Or are they trying to modernize it?
Well, I mean, nobody really wants to stay in a hotel that's from the 20s. I mean, it sounds romantic, but if you look at, like, the Arlington, which is a sister hotel, the Arlington Hotel, which is in Hot Springs, Arkansas, you can see that if you leave it the way it originally was, it does have some mystique to it, but not everybody wants to stay there. So they the developers had a meeting with the Texas Historical Commission, since it is a historical landmark. And before they were allowed to do anything to the building or any plans were approved, they had to basically play a game of let's make a deal on, you know, the Historical Commission guys would say, well, you need to leave this, this, and this here. And then the developers would say, well, we want to kind of move this or change this around. And so they had to go through what the Historical Commission would allow.
So with
the negotiation, because they're negotiating because the Baker, number one, it's a historical landmark, and number two, they're wanting to get tax credits to help pay for some of the renovation. Yeah.
And that makes sense.
Yeah. But they're going to have it to where when you walk down one of the hallways where the rooms are, it's going to look the same. They're taking the 433 rooms and paring it down to about 150, 175 rooms. However, some of those doors that are in the hallway now are just going to be, you know, false doors. They won't be able to open, but it'll still look the same.
Wow. Now, why are they paring it down? Do they just think they won't use that many, fill up that many rooms?
Well,
or?
You got to remember that whenever this hotel was built, I mean, this hotel was started in 1927, completed in 1929. When you would go to a hotel then, it wasn't the same as going to a hotel now. So you basically had a place to, you know, if you were lucky, you'd have a bathroom, maybe have a bathtub, you know, that maybe have a bathtub, might have a shower in it, you had a toilet, and then you had a bed, and that was about it. And a lot of these rooms that were in there are very, very small rooms. So
yeah.
What the modern you know, customer is going to expect from a high-end hotel, because it still has to function as a high-end hotel for what their plans are, they would have to make the rooms quite a bit larger.
Okay, so they're just going to basically turn two rooms into one room and then keep the false door.
Yeah, and then the suites that are in the corners, they have a very interesting layout, so those would end up being one big room instead of multiple little rooms with a little hallway. So, but they're going to have it looking, you would think that you were stepping back into the, you know, the 1920s, but with a modern taste to it.
Okay. Yeah. And the entryway, I mean, it's so grand and beautiful, and the elevator,
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how that's going to look when it's finished. It sounds like that's going to be pretty much the same too, as far as the look.
Oh, yes. Yes. The lobby is going to look very, very similar to what it did back in the day. Actually, they're having to redo part of the lobby, because at some point in the, I want to say it was in the 50s or 60s, in the lobby, there are two circular kind of concave areas on either side of the main lobby. And one side was walled off, and part of where that curved wall was converted into a bar. And lounge that was right next to the restaurant that was on the main floor. And so they're actually going to be putting that back the way it originally was. So it is going to truly look like it did back in the 20s and 30s.
Now, what about the stores along the bottom, rather? I know there used to be stores around there. Are they going to start
mm-hmm.
opening up for business around there?
Yes, they're still going to have the retail spaces on the street level, coming from the outside. There are plans to have a variety of different businesses there. There will be a coffee shop, I'm sure, because that's where the original coffee shop was on the main floor. They're looking at a hair salon, nail salon. They're even looking at possibly putting an outfitters out there, because one of the things that we're blessed with out here is there's a lot of outdoors entertainment as far as, you know, if you're a hunter, a mountain climber even. Have Possum Kingdom Lake, tons of hunting around here. So they're looking at putting an outfitters downstairs too.
Oh, that would be pretty nice. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what about the bass? Are they going to offer bass like they did back then? Do you know?
They are looking at that right now. I know the spa level, they're looking at doing that. Another thing they're looking at doing is through going through the basement with Mike Pullis, who's the head plumber of the job. We had found where the original lines came in from the wellheads, which are up to the northeast on the side of a hill there next to the church that's next to the Baker. And the lines fed mineral water into the building, and it went all sorts of ways. But one of the things they found out was they even had in the individual rooms, there was well water being sent. So,
oh, wow.
So I haven't seen the plans on that part of it. That might be a little bit of a nightmare just to have, you know, water that's coming, you know, and still they're still having to drill their own wells now. I think they're looking at putting their own bottling facility under the pool area. But I think there is talk about having some rooms that still have mineral water sent to them.
And so the pool will open up just like previously, same size, same, just clean it out and kind of redo it, or?
Yeah, the pool itself is in really good shape. The only area that needs to be addressed is the wading pool that's to the south, the big circular, like, kiddie pool. Since the area that it sat on is just dirt, there's no concrete under that or rooms underneath it helping support it. So it has, it sank and kind of fallen away a little bit from the main pool, but it's something that I believe they're going to be, I don't know if they can fix it, but I think they're going to try to recreate that. The pool itself is still in really good shape. All the plumbing that's in there, they've been able to reuse some of it. Just for right now during construction, but I believe they're going to be redoing all of it. So it's pretty, yeah. And that's one cool thing about that pool area is that it's nothing but rooms all around that big, you know, Olympic sized pool, and it's all underground.
Underground, so. Rooms, as in like rooms to stay in, or rooms that are just being used for like laundry and.
No, it was all back of house type stuff. So it was all basically it was a lot of storage. There's a huge heating oil tank that's underneath the ground there that's in the pool area. And there's a big room that it sits in that's kind of a creepy room. I don't like that room. But there's like changing rooms for the pool area underneath there. The original bottling room for the Baker water was there next to the pool. All the laundry stuff was inside under the area where the turnaround is on the north side of the building.
Now, what would you say is the most haunted room or part of the hotel to you? You had a place that's just like, this is just insane, like...
I would say the room that they say that is the mistress's room. It's on the seventh floor, and if you're looking at the front of the hotel, there's the little section that kind of juts out, and then the main wing continues on from that corner. And on the seventh floor, on the east side, that was the Virginia's room, is what they called it. And then on that floor. With that one, that's the one that on Ghost Adventures they caught the voice saying to drink the water.
Are they going to maintain that room? Is that going to be like where you can stay in there?
That people are going to be allowed to stay in there, and they, from what I understand, they are going to give it some type of designation. I don't know if they were going to go ahead and put Virginia's room as a plate on there. I know that there was some talk about that. But the interesting thing about that room is the room that was referred to as Virginia's room, that is also the room that T.B. Baker, who built the hotel, he had a sister named Myla Baker. And Myla lived in that same room, and she lived in it from when the hotel opened until she passed away from a heart attack in that room in 1945.
Wow. So there's a lot of activity going on there.
There's a lot of family issues in there, I believe, also, because in learning more about Myla, I did some different searching online, and I actually got to talk to the I believe it was the great niece of Myla and T.B. Baker, who she used to play in the hotel when she was a child, and she was telling us stories whenever we were walking her through about how, you know, who used to live where, and it was very interesting to learn that side of the Baker family. But there used to be a lot of infighting between T.B. and his siblings and their kids about who owned what and how much of it, you know.
Yeah. Now, who owns the hotel now? Is there someone in the family that still owns part of it, or is it with the city now, or how does that work?
Well, what happened was the TB Baker sold his control of the hotel to Earl Baker, which was his nephew, and Earl, from what I was told, is the one that supposedly had the mistress, and he had it until the hotel shut down, I believe, in the early 70s, and he sold it. I think it went up for sale to a group of businessmen who were going to try to redo it, update it in the 70s, and then from what I'm following with the deed information, it was sold to the Horn family out of Arizona, and it passed around through a couple of them, and they, it was kind of one of these things where it was an investment that never really, they never did anything with. Yeah, it was like a write-off, basically.
Now, and I then, saw that the towers lit every night. What is the expected completion for everything, for renovation?
So they got started on it last year, and their plan is to have it done within 2.5 to 3 years. So we're pretty much done with the first year. So within 2 years, it should be open for business.
So this is 2022, give or take.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting is that, you know, almost 100 years ago, the Crazy Water Hotel that is in its current iteration was being completed and was finished right before the Baker was finished and opened. And that's kind of what's happening now. There's a group of investors that have bought the old Crazy Water Hotel, and they're redoing it for apartments. And then they should have that done just as the Baker is getting close to finishing it. So we're having history kind of repeat itself right now.
It's so weird to me that they're turning those into apartments. I don't know. I feel like it should be a hotel again.
Well, see, in its last iteration, the Crazy Water was basically an assisted living center. And that was kind of rough. There was a gentleman that owned it, and he lived down in Houston, and there was a lot of back and forth between him and the city, because he was kind of an absentee landlord. Items were basically allowed to go into disrepair, and the repairs that were made were not the best. And I know that our fire department has had to save older people from the elevator cars multiple times at the Crazy Water when I first started. But I mean, now the idea is now those will be high end apartments with some retail, and then we'll have the Baker back as its own hotel over there, you know, what, 3 blocks away, and they'll have their entertainment stuff and retail venue, and it's going to be pretty neat.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know that talk about the renovation's been going on for years. I mean, I think everybody in the paranormal has been like, when? Like, come on, like, we want it. But I really feel good about it this time. I really feel like they're making progress, and it's going to push through, and that it's going to be successful, both with the apartments and the Baker. Do you feel the same way?
And Yeah, I do. And I'm excited for the Baker to finally be open, just so, you know, people that have always wanted to go in and do, an EVP or, you know, go explore, just feel the vibes of the place. They'll finally get to walk in, but they'll get to walk in it in a safe environment rather than what, you know, I was in there.
I want to get into that with you. Now, how did you get started as a code officer and eventually work your way into the Baker and any crazy experiences? Because I know you caught people sneaking in all the time, so I was curious to hear some of these crazy experiences, or at least one of them.
I've got plenty. I started in 2008. Basically, I was a graphics guy for a newspaper in Weatherford. Was a manager of a department there, and I was trying to get something. You know, my wife was a teacher, and she was the one that brought us to Mineral Wells as a music teacher, and so I wanted to have something that was in town. And I'd actually gone to apply for the IT department, and I saw this other position was open, so I put it down, thinking, you know, nothing would happen. And then I got a call from the building official at the time, Robert Turk, who looked like Simon Pegg. And it was weird because I'd watched Shaun of the Dead the night before my interview, and so the whole time I'm staring at him, it's just surreal to me. But anyway, I told him, you know, I'm not really ready to be been trained to be a building official, and he said, well, I'll train you. And so I got to learn on the job everything. And after my first year of being a code enforcement officer, you know, I was being trained to be a building official, and then I realized that we were involved with the Baker Hotel, the department was. And he, you know, they had been working on this venture since 2006, 2005, having Laird Fairchild coming out here and meeting with people and going inside the building and checking on it and just seeing if it would be possible. And by the time I got there, Robert was kind of done with going in, because that's 14 floors, you know, basement to bell tower, and no electricity, no elevator, and he was tired of going in. So I hopped up and I said, I'll do it, you know, I'll go for you. And that's how I got in, you know, just showing that initiative. And he was done with it. So I got to go in. I got to meet Laird Fairchild and Chad Patton, who are the two of the principals of the group that are bringing it back. And I got to meet all the contractors, you know, Mark Rawlings and Mike Pullis, Scott DeVore, Jeff Trigger, who's the hotelier that they're working with, who's responsible for, like, the mansion at Turtle Creek. That's a pretty fancy place. So I got to meet all these people, and I got to go in, you know, when they would go in. Well, luckily, this thing was starting to ramp up as far as work, so I got to go in. I mean, there was one year I was in there every day. And I had an affinity for this building, you know, since before we moved here. My mom took us through here one time back when I was in high school, and I made her stop, and I got out and looked in the lobby, and I thought, I wish I could go in there, and, you know, here I am. I got to go in there, so.
It draws you in, draws everybody in. You just can't help it.
And that's one thing is people always say, well, aren't you scared to be in there? I mean, I'm not scared of the building. The building has a very cool vibe to it, and it's hard to explain. Yeah. I mean, if you're somebody that can pick up that stuff, and I'm not saying I'm a sensitive or anything. I've met people who are. I'm not that, but it's just it has a very, you know, come in, go check things out. What's over here? You know, we're not, you know, it's cool. Just be cool to us. We'll be cool to you. That's the kind of vibe you get from the building.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only thing that did scare me in the building, not really scare me, but worried me, is that, you know, the amount of transients and meth heads that go in, and there's a lot of copper in those walls, and they kind of learn how to get in and get out. And so they tore a lot of the stuff out. So that's what part of our job was. Yeah, not job. We really took it upon ourselves, me and myself. And there was myself and some other people from my department and a couple of police officers that we would go up there and just sit behind the fence and wait for people to jump over on the weekends and catch them. And it was a lot of fun, because we would just come out of the shadows. And I mean, yeah. I'm not a small guy by any means. So when I just come out of the shadows right in front of you, it's,
you're not tiny. You're a buff guy.
But you know, it's one of those things where you know we could surprise them and catch them, and having a cop there with us helped out. And so we would do that during the summers. We would go out late at night on a Friday night, Saturday night, and you know, from dark until about 3 a.m, just sit out and wait for people to jump over. And they all did. You know, it's funny that. Go ahead.
What? No.
I was just gonna say is that you know everybody that comes there to break in, they think they're all think they're slick, but they all do the exact same thing. It's clockwork, you know. They drive around it 2 or 3 times. Then they go park, and you'll hear, you know, downtown at that time, there was nothing going on. So you'd hear a car park, you know, 2 blocks away, and they're like, oh, okay, here he comes. And then sure enough, here they come. They hop over, not looking where we were, and they hop down, and we catch them every time. But we had some crazy things happen.
Did you have mercy on them, like leniency on anybody, or did you guys arrest pretty much everybody? Or were you like, they're a kid, we're going to let them go?
No. I mean, if you made the point to hop over that fence, then you're in the wrong. You know you're not supposed to be there. You can admire from afar. You don't have to be back there. And normally the worst thing that would happen is we may give them a verbal warning and get them on their way. But I mean, there's a lot of people that came in with. I mean, there was a group of 3 guys from Oklahoma that were down for some, you know, they were in Fort Worth for some ag thing and come through. Mineral Wells just to get to the hotel, and they all brought crowbars and stuff, and we didn't have anything with us at the time. So, but we scared them so bad they dropped it all and ran. So, you know, we all had badges, and that would be the first thing.
So he comes out of the shadow.
Yeah.
Like the whole.
Right. Well, and see, and that's we had some really cool paranormal stuff happen while we were doing that. I can remember one time, the group I was with was myself. Officer Thomas and his wife, who worked in our department, she was back on the backside keeping an eye on in the dark where we would hide. And Darby and I took a group of guys that we caught up to the front gate where we had some other officers come up to process them. And we had radios on, and no static coming through. They just when you key up, that's when you hear what's going on. Well, all of a sudden, we hear screaming and fighting coming over our radios. And so we think it's Stephanie. So we go run around the back, and Stephanie's sitting there just not nothing happening. You know, and we thought it was funny.
And did it sound like her voice?
Oh, yeah, it sounded like her voice. It was a female fighting somebody. You could hear it.
Wow.
I mean, it was plain as day. I mean, and it scared Darby. Darby took off quicker than anything because he thought it was Stephanie. And his wife. And so we get back there, and there's nothing going on. Everybody there heard it. And when we came back up, the guys that we caught, they were like, is she okay? And we told them what happened, and they were scared. They were ready to go at that point.
Right. They were like, we're not coming back. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. When you hear a scream come over radio and then fighting and asking for help, it was, it was strange. It didn't go over anybody else's radio. Nobody else heard it. They even checked with dispatch to make sure it wasn't anywhere else. No, it was just where we were at.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say, just in general, in Mineral Wells, what's the most haunted location in Mineral Wells, would you say? Would you say it's the Baker or a different location?
When we go by what's haunted, it's hard for me. I mean, if you go by stories, the Baker is the biggest one. I mean, and that's through lore, that's through myth, and that's through, people posting stuff. The building I actually had the most things happen to me personally is the Baker, with Haunted Hill House being a very close second. And Haunted Hill House we had, and this was back before the previous owners. The current owners are not big fans of mine, but back whenever Phil had
I love Phil.
Yeah.
I keep talking to him, and he's like, oh, I'm not in the paranormal anymore. I'm like, Phil, come on. Phil this, Phil that.
Yeah.
No, I'm out. I'm like, you and your wife. His wife hates the paranormal.
Yeah. And they sold it to a couple that were from, I think, Fort Worth area. And they have it now. There were some issues with us at the city. We didn't realize how much business Phil was actually doing. And then it got to be crazy here because at one point we had, you know, two different buildings that were purporting to be haunted that were hiring the buildings out for people to do investigations. And then there were two different ghost walks that were competing with each other. And then the ghost walk tied up with the
it got
crazy. And so the city had to, you know, the city actually had to try to clamp down and, you know, figure out who was allowed to do what where, just that would meet our code. We kind of ignored it for the longest time, but the current couple that own the Haunted Hill House, and they're nice people. I mean, I don't want to say anything ugly against them. They're very nice people. There was a disagreement with our department that then ended up, it was about the time I was leaving. And so after I left, then it got out of hand and it just, you know, went sideways. But right now they're still, you know, they're operating. They're all good with the city. City's good with them. They've changed the building. I don't know if you've seen it because you know that.
I have, because I've met Catherine, and I mean, you know, there's some things I do like with the changes, and there's some things I don't like. I loved what Phil had, and I know they did need some updating as far as,
some of that's what the city wanted them to do, just because, to ensure that it was, you know, safe, because whenever Phil had it, there were a lot of, you know, exposed studs. There were, you know, nails hanging out. There was exposed wiring. And if you have a couple of people, that's okay. But when you're running a business like that, it's kind of hard to make sure it's safe, which is one of the things that the city has to do.
Yeah,
but, you know,
I get it.
You know, the Miss Estes, that's her last name, right, Estes?
Yes.
Yeah. So she, I mean, they did some changes in it, but – you know, from what I understand, it's still, they still have, you know, activity regardless of the changes. They still have, you know, people come and see them. So I just like the vibe that Phil had. You know, I'm kind of like you. You know, I'm an OG. I like the way Phil had it as opposed to what they have it. But they still have, you know, cool stuff happening.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah. I mean,
know,
they couldn't
Jack
not
Osborne
really
was there.
Too much. Who
yeah.
was? Jack?
And then I know. Yeah, Jack Osborne had his show out there. They did an episode at Haunted Hill House. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I haven't had a chance to see it yet. I want to. I haven't been able to yet.
I'm going to have to make a note to myself. Jack Osborne at Haunted Hill House. I'm going to have to check that out. Yeah.
I think it's Portals of Hell is what they call it now.
Oh, okay.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
but it,
yeah I've heard
but
of
it,
that.
Yeah, but then we also, I mean, what's cool is there's a lot of buildings then in downtown that are having activity. I know that there's one that's called the Happy Days Diner right now, that the owner had, you know, heard stories of a spirit of a little boy that was, you know, precocious and getting into things there, and they didn't think anything of it until they were having, you know, things that belong to her son that's in the back room, you know, moved around. So then stuff started moving around up in the dining section. And then I know on a security camera, they ended up seeing an image of a little boy walking around there at night when nobody was there. It was all locked up. So
now,
that's something I know. Go ahead.
How does your family feel about you being involved in the paranormal? Supportive? Do they kind of believe as well, or?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, like, my wife isn't very big into it. You know, I was into it since I was a kid. You know, I have my own hack, you know, shack hack, so I can do EVPs. I got to hang out with a lot of cool paranormal groups that went through the Baker. But my girls find it very interesting. I mean, myself and my oldest daughter will, you know, our favorite thing to do is sit down and watch Ghost Adventures or you know, any of the other shows that are on TV. They're not really ready to go for their own investigation yet, but they like to watch. Hannah was in the episode of Ghost Adventures. You know, she got to be in the episode as one of the recreations of a little family. So that's on her IMDb.
Aw, how sweet. That's cute.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel, like, the politicians and the business owners, and like the people that do the tours that come through. I can't think of the specific building it's called, because I dealt with them when I did that event out there at con. But how do they feel about the paranormal, do you think? Are they accepting of it? Like, hey, this is kind of what our kind of is, and they accept it, or are they, like, resistant?
It's a mixed bag, to be honest with you, because, I mean, nobody really wants that to be what Mineral Wells is known as. But, you know, we've got all the business that comes from the ghost walks, which are, you know, insane how many people come to those, especially around Halloween. You can barely get around downtown on the weekend because of it. You know, and then everything that's been on TV through the different paranormal things, So there are some that are hardcore, don't believe it. There are some that hardcore do. But, you know, when it comes down to the bottom line, it's a business right now, you know.
Yeah.
One way or another, it's a business. And they are not going to completely shun a business when it's bringing attention and people to their town, you know.
Yeah,
nobody's
going to
totally do away with it. Now, as far as putting it with the Chamber of Commerce and making it a regular thing, probably not. But, I mean, you know, you'll definitely have some.
Yeah,
that was the
chamber. That's who I was dealing with. And they were just I found it very difficult to get them to help with setting up an event out there, you know, and paying for the venues and everything. They just seemed very resistant.
Yeah, and I think it was just because at the time, it wasn't they didn't think it was going to be what it has ended up being here in town. And then they didn't really see a way that it was going to be a business, you know.
Is it the same staff there at the chamber, or have they changed staff?
There has been some change out chamber. The head of the chamber is now off doing his own business. He retired from that or left that for his own business, and they have a new leader in there now. I haven't got to really visit with him any. But I think now, especially now that the lady that was doing the ghost walk around the hotel, she has her own shop now called the Boutique, you know, Bootique. And then, you know, Haunted Hill House is still going, you know, nice and strong. And I think there's another group that's doing, you know, well, we had, the Haunted House in the old Nazareth Hospital. That's a favorite, too. They do investigations there as well, you know. The old asylum, which is now the VFW, they have a pretty good business, you know.
I know,
and that's a cool
place
too.
It is. That's where I did when I tried that with the Paracon out there, and it was the first year, and of course I kind of got screwed over with the partners pocketing money and not paying the hotel and stuff. Nightmare. So it kind tarnished there. So I was afraid maybe that room too, you know, and that puts a bad taste in people's mouth. But the VA or a VA, VSW, they were amazing. The guy there, the head guy, what's he called? Not director, but
commander.
Maybe that's a commander.
Yeah, I think it's like a post commander,
there's two with the same name, and they were just so sweet and generous and helpful and I mean, we had the best experience.
Yeah, and since the Paracon, they have had multiple investigations there.
I know.
And then,
what's his name? There's a Hispanic guy. I can't think of his name. One of my friends that was at the con, he was like, "Oh, I have to come back. I have to come back." And I heard Alejandro. I heard he came back twice.
Oh, yeah. I know Alejandro, the video guy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful guy. And I think it really drew in a lot of people just doing that, even though, I had people saying, "Hey, are you going to do another one?" But it was so much, the first one was so like, just a nightmare. And I was like out of pocket, like $7,000, two jobs. And I was like, "No, I can't do that again."
Yeah. Well, then, you know, besides all these buildings, you know, and that's another good thing is, like, there's so many buildings downtown that are being remodeled. So if you follow the logic that, you know, most paranormal investigators have, is that whenever you start digging up the past, you start, you know, bringing some other things out. I think now today would be an awesome time to try to get with somebody and have an investigation in one of those buildings. Now, if you could, that would be prime time to do it.
Yeah, if they're open to it, if they're not resistant, it's hard to know what buildings are open to it in Mineral Wells, which ones would be like, not a problem. We'll take, a X amount of money or what have you, or donations or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to get into what I'm going to call Tony's top 10, your top 10 questions, random, some paranormal, some not. And then we'll get into, also want to talk about Ghost Adventures and Eric Buffer and Russo that you had done the film with or show with.
Yeah.
Your experience there and a few more questions. But starting with question number one, what is your first paranormal experience ever?
Paranormal experience ever was, I want to call it paranormal. I don't know if it was or not. Whenever I was, I think I was a kindergartner. My dad was stationed over in Germany. We were in Frankfurt, Germany, and we were at a friend's house that was in, he was off base and kind of in a little country setting. And we were at myself and his son, about the same age, we were playing in his room, and I was by a window and I remember hearing a knock at the window. And when I went to the window and I pulled the curtain back to see what I thought was something just tapping up against the window, there was a face in the window with red eyes. And it wasn't, it wasn't a reflection. It wasn't an animal. It was a straight up face with red eyes. And I screamed like the little kid I was. I could see as I was running away, I saw whatever it was turn its head and leave. And to this day, I still don't know what it is, but that was my first unexplainable thing that I saw.
All right. Question number two, what are you not very good at?
I'm sorry. What am I not? What?
What are you not good at? Not very good at, like cooking or whatever. I don't know. Anything random.
I'm not good at dancing, and I think that's the big one, dancing. I look like Frankenstein having an epileptic fit.
What about favorite scary movie? Like with all the
favorite
movies that have come out
recently.
I mean, it doesn't have to be scary, but like The Nun and all those.
Right. So I'd have to say that there's kind of a tie. My favorite action scary movie is Daylight's End that they filmed here in Mineral Wells. It was a really cool take on the zombie film. Was like a imagine I Am Legend, World War Z kind of mixed together there.
Now, when you say Daylight's End, or end, like E N D or I M N?
E N D. Like the end of daylight. Right.
Okay.
That one was written by a guy named Chad Law, and it was directed by a guy named William Kaufman. They have a lot of cool, they're a really good duo as far as independent work. If you IMDb either one of those, you'll see they have some very good movies on. But my favorite scary movie to me, and I don't like gore, I like scare. Was the Blair Witch when it first came out?
Really?
Yeah, the Blair Witch when it first came out was, the way because that was the first time you ever saw anything that was done documentary style like that. And I was one of those that I got it, I can remember watching the movie with a friend of mine. And I was just like, whoa, and I worked at a machine shop at night, and we were out in the middle of nowhere with these big doors up. And after seeing that, I'd have to shut the door. I couldn't leave the door open because it was freaking me that all that blackness out there. And I didn't know what was out there.
All right. Next question. Room, desk, and car. Which do you clean first?
Room.
Got a tidy room, huh?
Yeah.
All right. If you could have one superhero power, what would it be?
Well, I would do the pervy thing that all guys do and say invisibility. But I think in reality, what I would like to have is like telepathic, where you can really read people's mind. Yeah, I think that would be the best.
Favorite movie to watch during Halloween? Like, you know, some people have kids. Like, as a kid, you watch
right.
movies.
I would have to say, like, the old school Universal movies. There's just something about watching them at Halloween time that is just nostalgic to me, you know?
Name three uses of a stapler without staples.
A hammer. A chip clip. And if you have the cool ones that shoot out from the bottom, you can pretend like you're the alien queen.
Awesome. So I think three more. So
okay.
Next up is, if I gave you $40,000 to start a business, what would you start?
Food truck.
Really?
Food truck.
What kind of food
sell,
truck? I'm
yeah.
curious now.
I would do a sandwich truck shop or a food truck, and it would be like hot dogs or subs.
Okay. What are you most proud of? And that can be personal or work.
My girls. My
no,
two little girls.
I see pictures of those babies.
Yeah. They're, what I really love is that they both speak sarcasm like a second language, and it's wonderful.
Take after daddy, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And last question is your favorite holiday. What would that be?
Arbor Day.
Arbor Day.
Yeah, just to be different. Just to be different.
I would not expect that one. So now everybody gets to know you on a
yeah.
personal level.
Uh-huh.
Now getting back
right.
to, I want to ask you about the couple of features that you were in. One
yeah.
was The Haunting of
Eric
well,
Balfour.
Okay, so they do use his name, because I was like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And so it's an American
yeah.
documentary television series, for those that don't know, and they take these famous people, like I was looking at season 6, for example, and they, you know, had Kesha, and I'm probably saying
yeah.
I'm wrong, I know who she is, so T-Boz, Morgan Fairchild, and they put them in haunted locations, is that correct?
Well, and what it was is it was actually a continuation of, I think, A&E or Discovery had the show Celebrity Ghost Stories. And
yes,
so that
yes.
was when people were talking about what happened. Well, a haunting of, what they did was they took the people that were on those original episodes and actually took them to the locations they had the instance in. And they had this psychic, I cannot remember her name, and she's
Kim
actually
Russo.
On their – yes. And they're actually rebooting that as Celebrity Ghost Stories again, and they're bringing that back with her. But that's what it was. It was basically taking people back to where they originally had their instances. And Eric Balfour, who is an actor that's been on, 24, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the one that came out in the
yeah.
early 2000s. You know, he's been on a bunch of them. Well, he was actually shooting a Western here in Palo Pinto County out by Possum Kingdom, and he, you know, cool old building in the middle of town, not a whole lot of police around, what are you going to do, break into it, you know? So him and his friends broke into the hotel, and, you know, it's like that on Nuke's Top 5, you know, and that's where things went wrong, you know? He had some issues with, you know, a girl getting grabbed, pulled through one of those doors in the building. He was touched and you know, heard voices and stuff, and when they came back, you know, Kim was picking up on a lot of cool things, and one of the things that she was picking up on, they had me come up and talk to him, and I was verifying the stuff that she was picking up. She was picking up the spirit of T.B. Baker. They also talked about the elevator operator that was a young man that was killed in his elevator mm-hmm. that he worked on.
Beheaded, correct?
Yeah, yeah. They were picking up on.
Yeah,
they were picking up good stuff. So.
That's
that
awesome.
Really,
yeah, it does say that it came off of Lifetime, beginning it. Or I guess it moved. Did it move to Lifetime its third season? Yeah, it looks like it says prior to moving to Lifetime with its third season. So I don't know where it started out. Because it didn't. Oh, Biography Channel is where it started out and moved to Lifetime.
And I think that was part of the problem with that show is that I think that show was not the demographic that you know, Lifetime or Biography was really wanting. I believe the new show's coming out on, is it coming to Travel Channel?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is they need something like the Travel Channel, where the paranormal people are, where all the shows are at, and they're watching, and,
I'm waiting for them to rename that the Paranormal Channel, just to be done with it, you know?
Yeah, right, they need to. Now, were you present with Ghost Adventures when they investigated?
Yeah, I actually I was lucky enough to get interviewed by them. I locked them in, part of the perks of my job is, you know, somebody with the city had to be present whenever anybody was at the Baker, and so I basically got to hang out with them and their crew for the entire week. I helped them find props for the recreations. I helped them find you know, some of the casts they used for the recreations. You know, they use a lot of city staff. I got a lot of my friends in it. My preacher's in it as a suicidal businessman. I don't know if he knew that's what he was supposed to be. That was a really, really fun experience.
No, I have to ask, because there's a long-standing rumor, and I don't remember where it originated, but I've heard that mm-hmm. they didn't leave the hotel in the best of conditions, and that it kind of left a bad vibe with the city, and then that's why they didn't want people in there, like as far as paranormal groups. Can you confirm or deny? Is that accurate or just a myth?
I can tell you that the crew itself was very professional. I mean, Zach and Nick and Billy and all them were very nice guys. I think there was probably a miscommunication with some of the people that they hired locals to help clean up after the project, and some of the trash bags that they filled up just ended up getting left inside the building, and then those were gone through by guys that were breaking into the building, so it just really got scattered around. No,
more mishap things, it sounds like.
Yeah, and it was really the some of the local guys they hired were what the issue was. The team was very, very professional for, you know, what they were doing, you know, especially when it was kind of out of the blue. The problem with you know, the last paranormal group that actually got to investigate the building was North Texas Paranormal. I think it was North Texas Ghost Society. That's what it is. Andre Woolert is the guy that runs that group. He had a group of people come in with him. They were very nice. They didn't do anything wrong, but just whenever, you know, I had the baby, I had to stay with them all night as well while they were in the building. And whenever I got done, we had a lot of people break into the building while they were there trying to investigate. And whenever I brought that to my boss's attention, it went up the food chain, and it kind of, you know, made people think, well, if there's people breaking in and there's a chance somebody can get hurt, they really didn't want to, you know, let people go in there. Yeah. And also,
now,
it was getting close to the time for the group to start redoing it, so they decided to just, you know, put a kibosh on it.
Makes sense. So kind of wrapping up, what do you have on the horizon? Any plans with work, events, anything related to the paranormal? Or what about writing a book? Have you considered that with all of your experiences and time?
I don't know about writing a book. I mean, I think, you know, I've made a lot of good contacts in the paranormal world and in the entertainment world. I hate to sound like that guy, but I am working on a screenplay right now. It's for something else. It's just kind of to get my first one out. But I have one that is kind of based on some of the stuff here. So I am looking at kind of getting into that world. I don't know if anybody would want to pay for a book just for me, you know, but maybe a story from me.
Well, you've got a lot of experiences there. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're, I guess, about out of time, so we're going to wrap things up.
Okay.
I appreciate you coming on to the show. It's been wonderful having you, and God, yeah, you're just full of knowledge, and I'm more than I already knew. I mean, it's just
yeah.
Amazing.
Well, you know, I really do appreciate it. I'm really been blessed with getting to work for Mineral Wells, and I'm very thankful for the Baker Hotel because it's got me, involved with movies, TV shows, newspapers, magazines, and now podcasts. So I'm blessed. I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, I hope to have you back on again sometime, maybe later when renovation gets closer or something else pops up or you have something going on. I'd love to just bring you back on. I mean, there's just so much to talk about when it comes to Mineral Wells. But again,
yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You for coming on. And you have
oh,
a great
thanks,
evening. And we'll see everybody next week, Wednesday, same time, 7:30 Central Standard Time. Bye. Have a good night.